Turning once again to the Word of God, our text can be found in the chapter read in your hearing, Ephesians 4 and verse 20. Allow me to thank you once again so much for the opportunity to be here with you, to worship the Lord in our services and to fellowship with you. We are so grateful for this opportunity and wish you and your dear pastor all the Lord's blessing. Dear congregation, there are five words that are written in John chapter 12, which ought to be the prayer of our heart every day. Sir, we would see Jesus. I ask you this evening whether this is the language of your heart tonight and every day. Lord, we wish to see the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul's life, ever since that one day he was stopped on the road to Damascus, was comprised of this heartfelt desire that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, that I might know Christ. I wonder tonight if that's the driving desire of your heart, whether you're young, middle-aged, or older. This is the great reason we are here on the earth. Besides glorifying God, we can only do that as we know and learn Christ, as we hope to hear from Ephesians 4 and verse 20. We read these remarkable words, but you have not so learned Christ, which brings before us the great topic which we hope to hear tonight, namely the school of Christ. The school of Christ. Many of us have started school, a new season of school. Children, you might be in a new grade, homeschool or some other school, or maybe you've gone to college or university. We all are in school, and may we be in this school. The school of Christ. We'll see, first of all, what the lesson is in the school of Christ, the main lesson. We'll see that from our text. And then secondly, we'll hear who the teacher is. Who the teacher is in the school of Christ. The school of Christ, the lesson we all must learn, the teacher we all must have. Well, Paul is writing this letter to the Ephesians from prison. He calls himself Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's a man who is wearing chains around his hands and feet for the sake of the gospel. And he's not ashamed of the gospel, nor of the Lord, who's led him all life's journey. Through many tumults and toils and tribulations and imprisonments and many other experiences, God was with him, and Christ was in him, and the Holy Spirit was leading him and present with him. But there were so many people around Paul, including in prison, guards, and others, who did not know Christ. They were in real imprisonment. They were truly captives, bondmen, bondwomen. And he speaks of these people in verse 17 and 18, and he says that all of us, by nature, we walk in darkness and in the vanity of our own minds. We're prisoners of darkness. That's what we are by nature. Having our understanding darkened. That means that by nature, the way we walk around in this world, the lights have gone out in our mind. We don't see things the way they truly are. Yes, we think to know life. We think to be able to handle life. But the truth is, our understanding is darkened. He says later on in Ephesians 5, he says, "You were sometime darkness." Notice he doesn't say, "You were sometime in darkness." He says, "You were sometime darkness." Your life was dark. It exuded darkness. It was great darkness in your heart and in your mind. And then he goes on to explain what that is. He says, being estranged from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. In other words, why are people in our world and also in church who are walking by nature, why are they in darkness? And why is their lives so dark? They're alienated from God. They're estranged from God. Think about that the next time you have an unbelieving friend or relative or someone in your neighborhood. Their minds are dark. And why? They're alienated from God. They're estranged from God. They're cut off from the life of God. That's why. The Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples when he prophesies that they will endure persecution. In John chapter 16, he says they will persecute you because they don't know the love of the Father. Amazing thing, isn't it? When these people come after you to persecute you, don't look so much at what they're doing and what they have and what they're accomplishing. But look at what they're missing. They don't have the love of the Father, or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They don't know the love of God in their hearts, which when once you have the love of God in your hearts, you can't help but give yourself over to the Lord, follow Him, love His family, and walk humbly with God. Friends, all of us by nature are in this condition. None of us can exclude ourselves. When Paul here is talking about how people by nature give themselves over unto uncleanness and greediness, never place yourself above people like that. Just know what one person said like this, but for the grace of God, there go I. And worse. Knew a minister, he would travel past a penitentiary, a jail. He would say to me, he said, but for the grace of God, I'd be there. He says, I have the seeds of all sin in my heart, and left to myself, I'd be there for many worse reasons than the people that are in there. Don't look down on people around you. They miss the love of the Father. They miss the indwelling Holy Spirit. They lack the glory of Christ in their lives and in their souls to shed light, to burst through the darkness. But by God's grace, as Paul is writing to these Ephesians, these Gentile believers, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. In other words, God has made a difference where there is no difference by nature. God has turned you around. God has changed the course of your life. God has, as he says elsewhere, made the light to shine in the darkness. God has made new creation. God has spoken his truth, his word, into the midst of the darkness. And he said over the gloomy darkness of your life, he said, let there be life. And there was life. It's all of grace. It's all of God. It's not of man who wills or runs, but of God who shows mercy. But you, if there's a difference in your life, that difference can only be traced back to God. Almighty God, thanks be to God for His wonderful gift. And one thing God does when He works in our hearts by His Holy Spirit is He does not only just draw us from sin into the light, but He brings us into a school, into the school of Christ, because He wants us always to be learning. He wants us always to be growing. He wants us always to be maturing. And he says something very interesting. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. It struck me when I was studying our text. He says here, but you have not so learned Christ. Learned Christ. He doesn't say here, but you have not so learned about Christ. He's not talking here about learning certain facts or doctrines or truths about Christ merely. As good and necessary as that is, I'm sure you're taught these things and how wonderful and necessary these things are. But that's not what he's talking about. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. In other words, the subject that we ought to be learning, boys and girls, in the school of Christ, is not just truths about Christ, but Christ himself. Maybe let's just take an example. When you learn piano or violin, you don't just learn about the piano. You don't just learn about the keys and about music and how other people played piano in the past. When you learn piano, you're taught to play piano. You're taught a art, a skill, something you do. And that's just a small example of what every Christian is being taught by the Holy Spirit, and that is to learn Christ. It comes close to what Paul says elsewhere about knowing Christ. That we shouldn't just know about Christ. We don't just come into buildings like this or read the Bible in order to learn more about Christ, to stuff our heads with truths about Christ, but to learn a personal relationship and connection and union with the Christ of God, the Son of God in our nature, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to learn to know him, which is a lifelong process for all God's children. It's not something that you just, in an instant, you know everything, and you know him through and through. Indeed, when God makes the light of the gospel to shine in your heart, you know Christ in a way you've never known him before. Up to that point, he was simply a truth or a doctrine or a person from history or a person of which the Bible was speaking, but when he, by light from on high, through the scripture, reveals himself to you, he's real. He's a real person, and he's right there. He's right there in the gospel. And it's as if he says on every page of the scriptures, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Have you ever opened your Bible and looked, as it were, through the lattice of the Word and seen the face of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's how he comes. You know what lattice is, right? You have it maybe in your gardens, or you know what I mean. It's this fence-like material that hides, but it also reveals. And this is how they used to speak about the Bible, that when you're face-to-face with the Word of God, Your prayer should be, open mine eyes that I might see Jesus. Is that your desire when you open the Word of God, when you read the Word of God? Show me something more about the Lord Jesus. Show me, Lord Jesus, something more of the grace and beauty of which you are so full. The Lord Jesus is the subject that we need to learn about. And so I ask you this evening, do you know something? There's something of the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, for yourself, personally. In marriage, we learn to study each other and learn each other. Not just about each other. But as time goes on, people have been married for a long time. They can often sit in a room together and not even say anything, and they know what each other is thinking. And maybe you have a friend like that if you're unmarried. You just know each other so well. You've talked together so much that you know each other's thoughts. And so it can be also with the Lord. Of course, he keeps speaking. He speaks through his word, but that intimate, close, real, personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God who recently went to glory for my own congregation, as I would meet with him and sit with him, and he had lost his dear wife to cancer a few years before, and he's waiting for glory himself and doing what the Lord gave him to do. I remember him saying to me, every time I would visit him, he'd say, Jerry, the Lord's so real. The Lord is so real. He'd say, I'd wake up in the night and I couldn't go back to sleep, and I'd just pray to the Lord. And he's so real, Jerry. He's so real. That's someone who's learning Christ, who's learned Christ, who knows Christ, for whom Christ is so real. Indeed, we need to learn to know much about Christ. But what a wonderful thing it is when the knowledge about Christ becomes a doorway in which we learn to know more about him. Do you know him as the Son of God in our nature? The glorious, high, holy Son of God. The one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. One who is God, light of light, God of God. Who from time immemorial was in the bosom of the Father. And he humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. Taking on himself the form of a servant. And humbled himself even further. It wasn't enough for him simply to become a man, but humbled himself even further. Yea, to the death of the cross. It was in his mind. But the Bible says, have the mind of Christ. What's that mind? The mind of someone who humbled himself, took the form of a servant, humbled himself even further unto the death of the cross. Who was so bent on humbling himself all for the sake of lost sinners. That was in his heart. Do you know him as such? Have you grown in your knowledge of him as such? The Son of God who took bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, who did not despise the sinner's lost estate, but said, make me like them in order that I might save sinners from Adam's race. I'll go into the depths. I'll bear the curse of God. I'll be hung between heaven and earth. I'll have the wrath of God poured out upon me to its bitterest dregs. I'll drink the cup the Father has given unto me. Shall I not drink it? I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how I am straitened until it is accomplished. You see, that, dear friends, was in the heart of my Savior, of my Lord, of my Christ. Is he real to you? Do you know something about this high and holy one who came so close, so near, so nigh? That to Mary Magdalene in the garden of Joseph of Arimathea, when she, thinking he was the gardener, she turned around. She first said, Lord, if you've taken away my Lord, tell me that I might take him. She so longed for him. She needed him. She couldn't go on in life without him. Even imagining a dead Jesus. In that moment, that's all she thought she could get. Tell me where he is. I need him so. And to have Jesus say, Mary. And for her in an instant to look and say, Rabboni, that's my master. That's learning Christ. That's knowing Christ. That's needing Christ. That's having Christ as your all and in all. He's the lesson. I ask you today, is it so in your life that Satan stood before you and could, in a certain sense, have a weigh scale, and he'd put everything on this side: money, reputation, an easy life, the respect of people, riches, smooth sailing, esteem of people. He put it all here. It's getting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. You can have all that without Christ. Or you can have Christ and none of that. What would it be? What would it be in your life? You see, when you're in the school of Christ and Christ is the lesson and you need Him and you long for Him and you must have Christ, then you say, take the world and give me Jesus. You have not so learned Christ. Christ is the lesson. And dear ones, I want you to know too that the Lord Jesus is a profound lesson, but He's such a simple lesson. There is in Christ such depth that someone has said it like this: there's an ocean here where an elephant might swim and a child might dip its toes. It's truly simple. You must become like little children to know this Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus, with all your learning, you've tried to climb into the heavens, but you need to be born again. You need to be made new. You need to become like a little child. Isaiah 35, verse 8 says, "The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." It's a simple lesson, the lesson about Christ. A child, an uneducated person, may know much more of it by faith through the Holy Spirit than the brightest mind that's ever seen our globe. He's a simple lesson. He's a constant lesson. We never get done with this. My friend, if you're in the school of Christ, you never graduate. Not on this side of the Jordan, and really you never do, because through all eternity you'll be learning Christ as He leads you by fountains of living water, and He feeds you and He gives you more to see more and more the glory of Christ. When 1,000, when 1,000,000 years are past, child of God, you'll still need and want more of Christ, more of Christ. He's a simple lesson. He's a constant lesson. He's a changing lesson. Have you ever been in a course, young people in school, where you went into the class and when you came out of that class, you were changed? Maybe you decided, this is what I want to do. This is a calling. This is what God is calling. I never knew this before, but now, and you're changed. Well, the school of Christ, as you're learning Christ, you're changed, the Bible says, from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of God, more and more, changing. We have so much room to grow. So much in us still has to change, don't you think, dear believers? But there's a lesson here. And someone has said it, this is a lesson that's best learned on our knees. I talked to one of you this morning in the fellowship hall, and you said that your prayer was this every day, and I love that so. Lord, keep me from becoming big. Keep me from becoming big. Standing tall. Growing high and looking down from the heights where I've placed myself. Keep me low to the ground, Lord. Keep me humble at thy feet. Never let me leave the foot of the cross, because there we learn that richest and greatest subject in all the world, Christ and him crucified. Young people in college, you'll find many people, university too, you'll find many people who will challenge the existence of God and the glory of Christ and make him to be simply just another historical person and God. More and more people are questioning his existence. Spurgeon says, "You might as well challenge that I have no mother, because I know my mother and I know my God. And I know his tenderness. I know his love. I know him as the high priest of my profession. I know him as the intercessor in my life. I know he is risen. I know he lives. He speaks to me. He walks with me. I know my Savior." He's the subject. Before we leave this first point, I want to speak to those of you who don't know this subject, who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, not personally. Maybe you've been taught many things about him. Maybe you even pride yourself in knowing so many things about him. You can even argue with people with all that you know about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I ask you, do you know him? Have you learned him? Is your life unthinkable without him? Do you know his pardoning mercy? Do you know his cleansing power? Do you know his tender leading in your life? Do you hear his voice through his word? "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Do you follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes? Maybe you're here today, and yes, you've been in the school of Christ, but you're a bad learner. That's how I feel. With all that I should have learned all these many years, I have to say, Lord, like Asaph in Psalm 73, I've been like a great beast. I've been like a fool, Lord. Please forgive me this. I want to know more. I want to know thee more. I want to walk in the light streaming from thy face. Well, this is the subject. But secondly, more briefly, who is the teacher in this school? Well, the Lord Jesus is not just the subject, he's also the teacher. I want you to know today that you're not left to yourself as the one in terms of the knowledge of Christ. To get the knowledge of Christ out of yourself, to simply just shore up this in yourself or to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. No. Notice how Paul goes on in verse 21 to say, "You have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him." If so be that you've heard him. Notice that. He doesn't say there, if so be that you've heard about him. If so be that you've heard him. Now, the Ephesians had never heard Christ physically. Christ had in his journeying, he had never gone to Asia Minor. He had lived in the land of Israel, in the Holy Land. And he had gone to some of the borders. He went into Syrophoenicia. He went across Jordan. But that was it during his earthly ministry. But here's what Paul is saying. Wherever the apostles of Christ went in the earth, whether it was Asia Minor, or Italy, or Spain, or Greece, or Egypt, or wherever it was, Ethiopia, as they preached, Christ's voice could be heard, echoing over the Scriptures, echoing through the Scriptures, echoing over their messages. Christ, the hope of glory, was there under the preaching of the Word of God. Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 1, he says to the Galatians who were starting to follow another doctrine, he says, "Who has bewitched you, O foolish Galatians, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, preached among you?" In other words, Galatians, you, not with physical eyes, but with spiritual eyes, you saw Christ lifted up in the gospel. You heard his voice. You heard his invitations. You heard his beseechings. He was there in the preaching of the word of God. He was there. You heard him, didn't you? You heard him. What did the Lord Jesus Christ say to his apostles as he left them to be ascended up into heaven? He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you." I'm with you. I'm right there. Wherever you preach my truth, wherever you bring the gospel, I'm with you. And people will see, not you, but me. I don't doubt through the faithful ministry of your pastor here that the Lord Jesus Christ has often been speaking here under the preaching, that you walked out of this place and you really couldn't tell, or you didn't remember so much who was preaching, but you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd speaking to you from his word. That's what we want. As I go around and meet people, a lot of times I'll hear, "We had this great minister. He preached. It was so rich, so compelling." Then I'll say, "What did he preach about?" And they don't remember. I'd much rather have someone say, "You know, we had a preacher. I don't know his name. I don't know where he came from. I don't know nothing about him. But he preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what Christ said to my soul." That's what we need. As Christ taught you. He has. From this pulpit, he has. I know he has. But have you listened? Have you heard? Truly heard? With the ears of your soul, they used to say. With your heart. There's something deep within your soul heard the voice of the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ says it this way in John chapter 5. He says, "The day is coming and now is when they that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And he goes on to say that same thing is going to happen, that those who are spiritually dead, utterly dead in sins and trespasses, my voice will reach them. And like dead bones in the valley of Ezekiel, the bones will come together. And sinews and flesh will all come there, still dead. But the Spirit will be breathed in them. And the Spirit will be the breath of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ will give life to the dead. Oh, congregation, I wouldn't preach except to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is still speaking to his church and people. And to dead sinners the world over. He still desires the salvation of sinners. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, "Refuse not him that speaks." Don't refuse him. Don't plug your ears to him. Don't be content simply with an earthly preacher. Don't be content simply with words on a page, as important as it is, and I don't deprecate that. But you must have Christ, my friend. You must hear him. He speaks in every word. He's inscripturated. Hear his voice today. He's the teacher. We're to listen to him. But secondly, we need to be united to him. Notice how our text goes on in verse 21 to say, "If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him," or literally it says there, "have been taught in him," in union with him. You see, congregation, it is an amazing thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is not simply content to be the teacher, but that he takes sinners to be his bride, and he unites himself to them. He marries them, and he teaches them as a perfect bridegroom does his bride. Now, in marriage, we learn a lot from each other, don't we? Husbands from wives, and wives from husbands. But the Lord Jesus Christ teaches his church and his people so much as he is united to them. In chapter 5, the next chapter of Ephesians, he talks about the relationship between husbands and wives, and he says, husbands, love your wives, as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. And he says, among other things, wash your wife with the water of the word. In other words, teach her, open the scriptures, lead her into the truth of God. That's your calling as a husband. That's a calling of the men here for their whole household. To wash their whole household in the water of the Word. You see, the Word of God is such a cleansing thing. There we come to the Word of God, all dirty and filthy because of sin. And there we open it up. And every page speaks about how the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We are to wash one another with the water of the Word. But don't think that Christ doesn't do that to his bride. There she is, lost in sin, undone, wretched, filthy. And here comes this heavenly bridegroom. He washes his church in his own blood from all her sin and all the stains of sin to present his bride spotless before the throne of Almighty God. If so be that you have heard him and have learned truth in him, in union with him, in communion with him. Dear believer, do you realize that enough? You're married to Christ. You can't have other lovers. This world can't be your lover. Sin, Satan, they can't give you anything. They promise much, but they can't deliver. Paul says to the Corinthians, I've espoused you to one husband. Even Christ. Learn of him. Follow him. Submit to him. Heed him. Learn of me, he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Friends, shouldn't we bow under the word of God even just now in our consciences and souls and say, Lord, teach me. I've been a wayward student. I've been stiff-necked. I've closed the textbooks. I've plugged my ears. I've thought to know better. Lord, forgive me and teach me. Teach me the truth as it is in Jesus. And this is what he goes on thirdly and lastly to say. If so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus. As the truth is in Jesus. Whenever you are taught some truth, if you trace it out, it takes you to Jesus. The truth is in him. In him all things consist. Sometimes people used to say all roads lead to Rome. And maybe here in the United States, you could say it about every road that it leads to this or that place, Washington or whatever. It doesn't really matter. But ultimately, all roads connect, right? At some point. In the scriptures, every road, every path, every byway, every highway leads to Christ. Spurgeon said this about his preaching. He said, I look at every text and I try to find the quickest, the shortest way to Christ. He says, sometimes I might have to jump over hedges, but I'll do it to find Christ in all the scriptures. So the truth is in Jesus. Is that what your heart needs? Give me Jesus, or I die. It's like spokes on a wheel. They all hold together in the hub. And the Lord Jesus is the hub of everything. I pray, God, that you would test the spirits to know whether they are of God, and that you'd find that truth ultimately, it leads you to Jesus, to find all in him. God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And God has made him to be wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. In other words, the whole of salvation is rooted, grounded, and comprised in Jesus Christ. The truth as it is in Jesus. And notice that word Jesus. He's talked about Christ. That's how he started. You have not so learned Christ, he says. But here, when he goes and traces all of this, and hearing and being united, and the truth as it is in Jesus, he switches from his official name, Christ, to his personal name, Jesus, as if to say, though I love every name of the Son of God, this name, Jesus, is all my salvation. It's all my hope. It's everything to me, sinner that I am. I need Jesus, Savior. Imagine that Jesus had every name that is given to him in the Scriptures, but he didn't have the name Jesus. Lily of the Valley, Alpha and Omega, the Bright and Morning Star, and all those wonderful names, but he didn't have the name Jesus. I, as a sinner, I'd be outside. I'd be lost. For I need a Savior. I need Jesus. Jesus is all to me. I wonder, congregation, if you feel the same thing. That personal name, that personal connection. Do you understand that we've been talking all this time, really, about a personal, intimate connection, knowledge with the Lord Jesus Christ? I fear so much that many in the church are content with holding Christ at bay. Maybe subconsciously, maybe consciously, I don't know what it is. I see that spirit in myself at times, and I think, what is it? Here is everything that I could ever need or want. It's all in him. Oh, to press close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Still closer to thy side I press, says the poet, for near thee all is well. The Lord Jesus is everything. My dear Christless friend tonight, I don't know who all here are without Christ. But I can truly say that I love you for your soul's sake. And what you need most, no, who you need most is this Jesus, this Christ, who comes so close. He's speaking to you. Don't you know it? He's speaking to you right now through the preaching of the Word. He's drawing close. You're in his school. He's teaching you. But what kind of a student will you be? Will you be someone who comes in for a day, for a week, for a year, and then leaves and says, you know, that school, I'd rather have my own school? Or will you say, listen, I came into the school utterly ignorant of Christ, and for a long time I kicked at him. I plugged my ears at him, but finally he overcame every resistance. The sovereign grace became my theme, and I learned to fall in love with this Jesus, this Savior of sinners. And now I can't imagine a life without him. The world has lost its attraction for me. Yes, I daily struggle with the lust of my flesh, with the evil heart of unbelief. I'm not there yet, but he'll bring me there. He's guaranteed it. and his wounds, his nail-pierced hands and feet and side, and his bleeding head guarantees he'll bring me there. He'll bring me all the way to Zion, and I'll see him. Now I see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall be known. I shall know as even also I am known. And I'll say, all glory, praise, and honor be to Jesus, the Lamb upon the throne. Worthy, worthy, worthy is Jesus, the Lamb on the throne. Amen. Lord Jesus, make thyself so attractive to our souls tonight, whether for a first time, that we never saw any beauty in the Lord Jesus so as to desire him. We confess, Lord, that that's all of us by nature. We saw no beauty in him that we should desire him. Oh Lord, what poor wretches we are not to see beauty in the Son of Righteousness, the fair Lamb of Heaven. Lord, make a difference. Work in hearts tonight. Save the lost. Strengthen thy people in the holy faith. Lead us and guide us by heart and by hand. May we know ourselves, the people of God, married to one husband. May we follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Be with this flock. Be with every person here. May the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up here each and every Lord's Day till the coming again on the clouds. Lord, we long for that day when face shall be sight and the clouds will be rolled back. But until then, Lord, save the lost. Bring many into this school. Teach us the lesson. And be our teacher, we pray. And all this out of free grace, for Christ's sake alone, the pardon of every sin. Amen.